It's a memory play. The first act is a lot about her past as she's packing up her house for the last time. She knows she won't make it through the year. But the audience doesn't know that until the end of the play. but they can feel a tension. And then she does... there's no break between the acts. And in act two, I mean, she is back in Washington, where she spends the winter, and she's back testifying, giving speeches, and still she hasn't told anyone that she's dying. So you see her more in her St. Joan mode in act two. Act one, you understand who she is as a person. And I purposely did that because I didn't want anyone in an audience ever to think that they couldn't be a Rachel Carson. I didn't want them to go, oh, she's wholly other. She's St. Joan. I'm just a person. By introducing her as a person whose great love of the natural world gave her the courage to stand up against our government and every chemical company and in this country as a single woman.
And many people credit Rachel Carson with, you know, launching the current environmental movement and some of the regulations that we see in place now with the Environmental Protection Agency that many people say are a direct result of Rachel and her work. We're seeing those getting rolled back. How does what's happening currently, does that impact your performance at all?
Yes, but I have a longer view of it, which I think she had. When she wrote Silent Spring, there was no environmental movement. There was a conservation movement, but there was no understanding on a national level, much less a global level, of the interrelatedness of all life, and that in our highly industrialized societies and they were becoming more and more technological, people were losing their reference to the earth. And her call in all of her books, but particularly in Silent Spring, was to wake us to the interconnectedness of all life, each to one another and all to the earth. And she wanted us to understand how important it was for us as human beings to see ourselves not separate from the earth, and certainly not in control of the natural world. And she warned us that we had the ability. It was a wake up call in her life with nuclear power, that we had the ability to destroy the world as we know it. And by the time she wrote Silent Spring, she realized we had multiple ways of altering and destroying the world, and consequently ourselves. So that call is what, that alarm is what made her book electric. And that alarm is still the alarm that 360 and every strong advocacy group is crying, which is why she's still, you know, the shoulders we stand on. Am I disappointed that they're rolling things back? Of course. Am I angry? But again, for me to do this play and to watch audiences of hundreds or thousands come as a collective after the performance and be re-energized to go, she did this right up until she died. She died doing this for us. We can do more. And so I think I see it as a very powerful, exciting outreach. And all I'm doing is saying her words. I don't need to add anything. And to one other point, you mentioned in your question, people credit her with the creation of the EPA, but it's much, much more than that. After she wrote Silent Spring and testified before Congress, within 10 years, every single pillar of environmental law was created. The Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, the Endangered Species Act, FIFRA, and eventually what was to become the EPA. Nothing has been created since her. Nothing. My husband's an environmental attorney. Every single thing he sues on is based on what was created in her name.